recommendation by Emily and Maya. Thank you for including this.
Okay. Yeah, so thanks for being here, and thanks, Bindiya, for asking Maya and I to come and help. We're here to support in whatever way you find useful as you're writing or thinking about writing or you working or want to like ask us about writing samples that you brought today. So we're just going to give like a very short sort of intro to our thoughts on writing, and then we'll just kind of hand it over to like a free flow workshop of whatever you find most useful. And as people kind of come in and want to talk about what they're working on. So I just want to give you a little background. Maya and I will each kind of give a background of what we do and how we can help you, and just some of our sort of initial thoughts and tips. And I know Aldo's here too. I didn't send you the slide deck. So if you want to give the same two slide summary of yourself that we're about to give, it's basically just, you know, what we're about and our thoughts on writing. So my background, so I have a PhD in astrophysics and I did a couple of postdocs. So for those postdocs, I'm familiar with writing job applications, fellowship applications, faculty job applications, because I apply for faculty jobs too. I left academia and I did a couple of years as a project manager for a research collaboration. So for that, I was writing a lot of grant proposals. I was writing a lot of planning and strategy documents. I was writing a lot of like policies and things like that. And now I'm the associate director for strategic partnerships, grants, and awards at PI. So I help with writing government funding proposals for Perimeter. I help researchers write grants, help write award nominations. I write a lot of partnership documents. But I would say most of my writing experience is scientific writing. So for articles, for peer-reviewed journals, review articles of my field, things like that. I have some experience in science communication for like public-facing articles in, you know, outlets like Scientific American, Conversation, et cetera. But I'm much more familiar with scientific writing than with public science communication. So I can probably help you with a lot of different things related to writing, thinking about how you write or the tone of your writing. Can really help with like structuring a journal article, how it, you know, taking the paper process from start to finish, and how to help you get unstuck depending on where you're at in the process of writing a paper. I can help you with the tone, and maybe like something about the process for putting a paper together. Not the same thing works for everybody, but you know, there are some sort of general tips and tricks that I'll give on my next slide. And then I can probably also help you with time management for writing. I gave a time management workshop a couple of months ago for people at PI. And I think a lot of my own time management techniques came out of paper writing because I tried to avoid it as much as possible. Okay, so I just thought I'd put together a slide of just my own sort of writing tips. And you know, as I think about how to write a paper or something like that, I think like a good outline makes for a good paper. I am a really big fan of detailed outlines that get more and more detailed and then eventually sort of merge into becoming a full-fledged paper. That works really well for me. Doesn't necessarily work for everyone, but that's sort of my tip if you're stuck. My paper process also involves like starting with the figures, getting, if you're working in a field or you're working with data, it may be helpful to actually make your sort of like paper-ready figures that you put into the paper, and then you sort of write around them. And you've already, I find like you can like waste infinite time fiddling with a figure, so it's better to just get it done, and then you can write around it and explain what's going on. I think the similar thing would work for a proof or like a derivation or something like that, is just getting that all teched up, and then sort of writing around it so that you kind of know what you're guiding the reader towards. If you're struggling to write something in a way that sounds intelligent to you, because sometimes it's like, okay, well, I want to say this thing, but I just don't know how to write it well. That's okay. My general strategy, and I use this in my writing all the time, is to write it the dumb way first. So like just get the dumbest words possible on paper, and it can actually be intentionally quite simple and dumb, but it helps you just get it out the first time. And then, you know, you can iterate towards a better way of saying something. I find that having a writing buddy, or if what you want to use today for is just actually writing, I think that really helps. Kind of focusing yourself and finding a dedicated time to write, where you just agree, I'm going to write, you know, I'm going to book a room and my friends and I are going to write for the next 2 hours. And we're all just going to focus on our writing, and it kind of keeps you accountable, gives you a blocked off time. And you can say after 2 hours, I did some writing today. And then I also, I see this a lot in sort of student papers, and this is not a criticism of student papers. I think it's hard to find the right tone and language to use when writing. But I find that sometimes trying for overly flowery or overly complex language can actually hide your point and make your readers a little frustrated with you. So, I said overly complex wording obfuscates the primary information and may result in undesired illegibility, but basically saying, if you hide your point in fancy language, your reader struggles. So say it as clearly as possible. It doesn't have to be the most beautiful words. And in fact, I think sometimes if you go for, if you lean on the thesaurus a little too heavily or try to aim for something really flowery, you can end up with something that doesn't make sense or no one can find your point. And with scientific writing, it's really important to have the point be very clear so that your reader knows what you did. Well, we could probably talk about it. I mean, I'm sure Maya has thoughts, and Bindia probably have thoughts too. I wanted to mention ChatGPT. I see ChatGPT as a tool. I use it sometimes in my own writing. I think it's really helpful for helping me structure something or better understand a way of talking about something. But ultimately, when you write, your voice and the words you use should be your own. Like, your voice should come through and your own thoughts should come through when you're writing. I see people kind of copy-paste from ChatGPT into their paper or something like that, and I think I don't think that's the best way to do it. I think you can use ChatGPT sort of as like a sidekick, but like you should be writing your own paper. And I said people can tell when ChatGPT delved into the writing for you, and this is a classic example. So there are a few words that ChatGPT uses more than normal human beings, and delve is one of them. Like if you look at like PubMed, the number of uses of the word delve in scientific papers like rocketed up in 2023 and has continued into 2024. It's because people are using ChatGPT. If you know this and you are reading someone's paper or something and you just see these kind of common words come up again and again, you can tell that someone used ChatGPT to write. And, your reviewer may know these kinds of tricks, and I may know these kinds of tricks, and I think it's a bit of a risk to just kind of copy-paste from ChatGPT. But I'd be curious to hear from the room about how you use it or how you think about using it in your writing. So those are my general thoughts. I'm going to hand it over to Maya, and she can give sort of her same two slides, but from a very different perspective. And then actually, I think it would be great to hear from Aldo on the same things, too, if you have some thoughts. So, all right, hand it over.
Okay, thanks. So I'm Maya Berger. My academic background is not in physics. It's in English and philosophy. I have a master's degree in literature. My expertise is in the language side of things, the wording, the tone, the cohesiveness of an entire document. And before coming to Perimeter, I managed a team of research funders for a higher education publisher, including a very, very large grants and awards database. So again, it was working with other editors on scientific-related writing and on a lot of grant and funding information, especially for scientific research papers and researchers. I was briefly a chemistry department manager for a university for under a year, so I got to see a lot of applications come through, a lot of other scientific writing, and got to know scientists a little bit better. And then I became a copy editor and proofreader, and that's what I've been doing for the last 8 years, again, before coming to Perimeter. And I edited and worked with academics on a lot of applications for grad schools, for grants, scientific papers, journal articles, monographs, conference proceedings, things like that, at various stages of the writing process, everything from just conceptualization of these papers to like the final proofreading stages. So now I am the Grants and Awards Officer at Perimeter, and I work with Emily on identifying and preparing the best grant and award, the best fit for a researcher with the best grants and awards for them, and put together a lot of applications, things like that. So the things that I can help with on papers are the narrative aspects. Does the paper flow well? Does it make sense as a paper rather than just assorted bits of information? Does everything link back to a central thesis or statement or proof or thing that you're trying to, a message that you're trying to convey to your readers? Eliminating a lot of repetition that doesn't actually add anything to the content of the paper, and just making sure it's overall cohesive. The things that you'd expect from an editor, like spelling and grammar and sentence structure, the wordiness of it, I do that as well, and that's something that people may struggle with for certain audiences, depending on, you know, they may know their topic very well, but it's just in that way of communicating it to others that can sometimes be a bit of a challenge. Also, citations and citing sources, making sure that they're consistent, that they're formatted consistently, that they're complete, that anything you reference in the main text of a paper is cited properly. If it's not, if it's an idea that's not your own, if it's information that you're quoting from another source, whether directly or indirectly, and making sure that, you know, the numbers of the citation match up to the numbers in a works cited document, in a list of sources, things like that. And as Emily said too, consistency overall, and the style, the tone of the writing, making sure it's appropriate for the audience. So that is me, and like Emily, I have a list of tips as well. A lot of them are along the same lines. As Emily said, build in time for writing. It's so easy to just kind of let it slip away and do things at the last minute, but start early as possible. Commit time to writing, and every time you sit down and write something, no matter how rough it is. As Emily said, it doesn't have to be in the fanciest language. It doesn't have to be perfect from the get-go. Sometimes just getting started is the hardest part. I find that in the writing that I do as well, just getting over that blank page, writing that first sentence can sometimes be the hardest part. But it's impossible to edit a blank page, so just get something down, and then you'll often find it's easier to work from that point. And build in time for editing as well. You can use Grammarly, you can use various checkers like that. They can be helpful as far as they go, but a second pair of eyes can be invaluable as well, whether it's a peer, whether it's someone in a position like Emily or myself, to spot inconsistencies, even to bounce ideas off of. Sometimes when someone else doesn't understand what you've written, just the act of explaining it to them through a conversation or in trying to reframe your own words can help you see where you might have been stuck or where something might be unclear and where you can kind of tease it out and make it clearer. Obviously, things like typos, and even I find another person, they're able to be a little bit more objective about your work than you are. So whereas you might not be as inclined to celebrate a result or an achievement or something that you've discovered, someone else may say, hey, that's something you should really highlight and celebrate, like make more of a big deal out of that, depending on the context of the paper, of course, and what it's for. So there's all kinds of ways to engage a second person to help you with your writing. And the more time you build in for that process and incorporating their feedback into later drafts, I think the stronger your writing will be. Second point is to know your audience. Who are you writing for? Is it a journal? Is it a top journal? Is it a high impact journal? Is it very niche audience who knows the jargon that you're going to use? Is it a more generalist audience? Is it a not even a scientific audience? Are you writing for the general public? All these things need to be taken into consideration, and they will affect the level of technical specificity that you put into your writing. Also consider what message you're trying to convey to the reader. It's not fiction, but there's always a story that you're telling. There's always a narrative that's being brought through in a piece of writing from the introduction down to the summary, the conclusion at the end. So really make sure that whatever you want the reader to take away comes through. I mentioned citing. Make sure to cite your sources. Plagiarism is a big bad. Make sure that you are credible and are demonstrating academic integrity throughout the paper. whether it's a paraphrase or a direct quote, cite it. And the last thing is formatting requirements. They can seem really boring, but if the journal says something has to be in American English, use American English. Make sure that you're including all the sections that are asked for. Stick to word counts, fonts, things like that. They're boring, but they tend to make sure that you are able to follow a brief, stick to instructions. They sort of show professionalism and that attention to detail. So that that is me. Those are my tips. And I will hand it over to whatever's next.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Hi, so I'm Aldo. I'm one of the PSI fellows teaching at the master's program here at PI. I've done my PhD in France. I'm from Italy. I did my PhD in France, then came to Perimeter as a postdoc. Did a postdoc during COVID, so remotely in Belgium, and then got the job here at PSI. So I'm probably the least qualified person about teaching you how to write. What I can tell you, though, is I learned by making lots of mistakes, and some of them I know them pretty intimately, and I recognize them in myself still and in the students. So that's definitely something that's, there are some common themes that common mistakes that people make and I keep making and try to be aware of. So this is quite, I hope I can help in spotting them. And most of them have been already mentioned by Emily and Maya. I would like to say a word about the flowery language. Coming from Italy, we are trained to be flowery in our language during high school. So then it's a big transition. So I think there is also a big cultural aspect in this. And since here there are people from many different countries, I think English as a second language could be quite a harsh transition for some, especially in this very, in scientific writing, which is very different from what one is trained to do in school. Another thing I would like to mention is that the way I like to, a bit like Emily thought about starting from the figures, I like to start from the end. So my field is, I don't have data to work with. I work in quantum gravity and mathematical physics. So there I try to start from the end, say try to think what my message is, what the conclusions should be, what I want to convey, and work backwards, and especially try to understand what is the minimal amount of material that I have to communicate to a reader, trying to think also about what the audience is, of course, because that changes a lot, but that try to work backwards from there, especially if you have only a page constraint and things like this. Finally, beside citing your sources, I would also add acknowledge the people who helped you. Formally or informally, you had conversations with many people, and acknowledging their contributions, even briefly, I think it's important, both because it makes people feel better, and it can help you. I think it's fair. We trade in ideas, and so acknowledging who you had them with or got inspiration from is also important. And it's easy to make enemies if you don't acknowledge people properly. So that's also something to to keep in mind.
Thank you. Thank you, Emily and Maya.